Amen. Praise God. You may be seated if you like. You know, the presence of God is what Jesus commanded on his ascension, that you bear witness. And the presence of God is who we should be. We shouldn't be about our doctrine or about our religion. We should be about God. We're going to serve God because God said, I will put my spirit within you. And we said, no way. I want to go to church and learn about my doctrine. I want to be so involved in my doctrine that I don't care about that church or about that synagogue. I want to be free to just praise God. And God says, I want you to break down dividing walls. I want the Spirit of God to flow out of you. And everyone should realize that we just came from Yom Kippur. And it's because God commanded it. And we don't know why, but you know, it's really the real reason. It's because God is anointing us and he's called us together so that he could renew our covenant with God. We're not saved or born again. God has made covenant with you so that you can stand on the promises. It's because of the covenant. It's because of the covenant of God that the Holy Spirit will rule and reign in all of us. It's because of the covenant of God. In this morning's prayer, Greg reminded us that God says, hold him accountable. And God said, my seed, my toldot, my generations are going to be in covenant with God because I made covenant with God. My dad made covenant with God. My grandpa made covenant with God. My great-grandpa made covenant with God. And that generational concept of God's anointing is still there. I grew up wanting to, you know, I hated church. I was a hypocrite. I went to church and everybody thought I was such a nice guy because I'm nice. I'm a nice little short guy. And so everybody loved me. But when I got out of there, I learned a different language. I learned how to swear and cuss. And I came to church and I didn't cuss. I learned how not to cuss around my parents. I wanted to go out and raise, I guess, hell, you know, and I did. But you know, God had his hand on me and I couldn't drift too far. And they brought me back and I went to Bible college and I was a missionary in the Marshall Islands. God just threw me back into the service. And God taught me back then, don't preach what I don't have. And I didn't preach all the charts and the graphs about the second coming because God says, I want you to preach the God of who is. Amen. Don't worry about the second coming. Deuteronomy says, God has his hand on all the secrets. All the secrets are God's. But yet what he reveals, and right now we're in 2021, he's revealing more of his spirit now than he did to my father and my grandfather and my father's father because God's anointing is so strong right now that we need to realize that God has called us to walk in his presence. Are we? My job is to challenge you. I was telling a group of pastors we met this week that God gave messengers. He gave prophets. He gave evangelists. He gave pastors and people that bear witness. He gave them to perfect the saints. That means that you're walking in a daily increase of God's government because God is walking with you to maturity. Maturity is something we need to start seeing in each other and helping each other because God's anointing is strong. God's anointing is on the presence of God, and as we begin to teach and share and bear witness to the God who is, the God who is to come is going to take place. You know, God's going to do what he's going to do. This Haftorah is all about the fact that between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, this Haftorah is always read. And it's the same as Ha'azinu, the Torah portion, because Moses was praising God. And this is where King David and Samuel's writing this. King David was praising God in all aspects. And it's funny because King David wasn't in the plan of Samuel. Samuel had his mind made up. Even the elect will be deceived. But God's anointing was on Samuel. When Samuel was a child, his mother Hannah, who was barren, was at the temple and promised God and went before God. And the high priest Eli said, "Woman, why are you drunk at the temple?" And she said, "I'm just seeking God for my child, because I am barren and my husband has another wife, and she's really hard on me because I'm barren and she has all these little kids running around making fun of me. And I want to give God this child." And so she became pregnant. And when she gave birth and when Samuel was old enough, Samuel was given to the high priest to raise in the presence of God. Now the high priest was corrupt. He was a big fat guy, and his sons brought in temple prostitutes. His sons ran amok with the flesh realms of drunkenness, and they went to war. And the messenger came back, and Eli, the high priest, the big fat guy, was sitting on a wall, and he said, "Your sons both have died." And he was like, "Oh no!" And he fell backwards and he broke his neck and died. But Samuel became the high priest, because Samuel, at that early age, he heard a voice, and he woke Eli up. He said, "Eli, what do you want?" And Eli says, "Go back to bed. I didn't call you. You're dreaming." Three times he gets up, Samuel, and says, "I heard a voice." And Eli said, "Well, ask God if that's him." And God told him, "It's me. Yes, it is. And I want you to serve only me." Because Eli was his mentor, was teaching him how to serve his own pocketbook, his greed, his flesh. And God says, "Learn to serve only me." 20-some years ago, my wife and I came into this walk, and I had a Greek mindset because I was a pastor. Now, pastors get a card after they're ordained or they graduate, and the card says, "You're ordained, you're a pastor, and you know everything." And you keep this with you. So you keep it in your wallet, which is where your heart is. And so when people came to me, I was in the hospital. I had 8 colon surgeries. I was in the hospital, and people came to me and said, "You need to realize that Sabbath is God's day." And I said, "No, but Jesus did away with all that. Everything that we learned in church, you know, that's all done away with." And he said, "Which God did away with all that?" I go, "Well, Jesus did." "Well, the Jesus I served couldn't have been the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New, because both the Brit and the Tanakh say God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So which God changed it all? Which God got rid of the feast? Which God got rid of kosher? Which God got rid of the Sabbath? Which God said, 'I will meet you as you gather on Shabbat'? And which God said, 'That's all done away with'?" And I realized that I was serving the God that did away with everything, and yet that can't be the real God. And I broke down, and I gave my life to God all over. And God brought on my heart the Sabbath. And so my wife and Wendy, we met in our house, and I was good friends of a rabbi in Denver, and somebody said, "I'm moving to this area," and the rabbi said, "Oh, you got to see Pastor Curtis." So he calls me up and says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, it's Shabbat. We're reading the Torah and study." He says, "Can I come?" I said, "No." "Well, why not? You're a pastor." I said, "No, I used to be a pastor." And he said, "Well, I want to come to your house, come to your study." And I said, "No, you can't come. I'm not going to play the game. I'm not going to change diapers. I'm not going to pastor. I'm not going to be your rabbi." And I said, "Hold on, I'm getting another call." I said, "What do you want?" "God." And God said, and I heard this very clearly, "I want you to serve only me. And nothing else matters." And I told God, "I don't know how. I'm not going to play the game." He said, "Don't play the game. Don't change diapers. Serve only me." And that's how this thing got started. So I said, "Okay." And this guy started bringing friends like Kathy Craig and Sherry Clark and others. And even Tracy in the back row there has been with us all that time. But yeah, you're in the back row. And so this is how this fellowship got started. But it was started because I didn't want to do this. I told God I couldn't do this. And God said, serve only me. So we have Samuel that served only him. But Samuel had his mindset. Samuel was the high priest. His mindset was the high priest was the whole system. They were the judge. They were the prophets. They were God's anointed. And God said, you don't know my mind. I want you to anoint a king. And he said, no. You're our king, God. You're our king. And God says, I've got a plan that you know nothing about because I'm in charge of the God of who is. I'm in charge of the future. You're not. And so he anointed Saul. And we know what happened to Saul, and we know the story, and we know that through that, Samuel had to find another king, and he found Jesse's son, David. And King David, or David, was king and anointed, and it's because that was God's plan. And through the line of David, we have Solomon, and we have Messiah. And we have the presence of God because Samuel said, okay, God, I'm wrong, you're right. So God was in charge. Well, Samuel didn't know what God was doing. A couple hundred years later, Messiah was born into the Jewish family. And the Jews had it all set up. They knew that God was going to bring a king that was going to destroy Rome, and the elect were deceived. The reason the elect are deceived is because we follow man's guidance. We follow tradition. We followed doctrine instead of following the Holy Spirit. And God made it really clear in the Old Testament that the Spirit of God will lead you into all things. And the Spirit of God is leading the bride today into all things. But we're getting caught up and worrying about what's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. God's in control. God doesn't want you worrying about what's going to happen and how we're going to escape or not escape. God wants God's people on fire for God. And God's going to have a remnant. And the remnant's going to be on fire for God. And the rest of the church is going to be deceived. Why? Because we are not being challenged to follow God. We're just following. Here's our doctrine. Oh, let me whip it out. You know, once saved, always saved, blah, blah, blah. You know, what doesn't matter what church you're in, whether you're Episcopalian or Methodist or whatever method you're following, if you're not following the Spirit of God, you're walking in deception. And this is what this is all about, because we're coming into Sukkot. Sukkot is God's time. It says, I will fellowship with you. I will live with you. You're the Sukkah. You're the Sukkot. God says, I will dwell in your Sukkot. I will dwell with you, and I will open your eyes. And Jesus came along and said, my sheep know my voice. And we go, whoa, I don't know his voice. Well, maybe you're not his sheep. And Jesus was hardcore when he said, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. And that's what we are when we're not walking by the Spirit. We're not testing all things. When Jesus said, test all things, us Christians, we go, oh, sex, drugs, rock and roll, blah, 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 and check it off. We tested it, praise God. God wants you to test everything. When I came into this walk, God said, take everything I know. And I said, well, God, I know everything. I got the charts in the grass. Take everything I know and put it on a shelf. And God began to teach me. It's called the mindset of God. And the mindset of God needs to be on fire and in tune with the Holy Spirit. And as Kyla was playing, City on Fire, the City on Fire should be God's people. God's called his people my city. And my city should be on fire for God, because the fire that God is bringing down brings judgment. So introspection. So we're clean before God. We're clean. And the bride is going to be clean. And I've got a whole message here that I haven't even got into, but let me skip through some of it. It's always red. I said all that. Hello? I said that. Okay. Well, anyway. One thing about this, about the holiday or Sukkot, is God's going to do this. Let me take you. I've got a couple of things I want to say. Shema Israel. Okay, let's go back. Oh, okay. Are you doing something, Carla? Oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that either. Okay. Well, real quick. But you are holy. Oh, that you inhabit the praises of Israel. So, I don't know if you can read that in between the bullet verse. God inhabits the praises of Israel. Well, praise God, we think Israel is over there. Israel is dead. Israel's Old Testament. But the fact is, Paul says, you're Israel. You're known as the commonwealth of Israel because there's a physical Israel and there's a spiritual. There's a physical me and a spiritual me. There's a physical group of people in a church, and there's a spiritual concept of the Kahal. And the Kahal is God's corporate understanding of the Spirit of God. And God says, you are holy. Oh, God, that you would inhabit the praises of Israel. Got to read in between the lines. If God is telling us that bringing a concept of Israel alive today, that he would inhabit the praises, then by golly, why do we go to church and we go, oh, Hail Mary, full of grace, oh, God bless us. Why don't we go to church and say, praise God, hallelujah. And the word hallelujah is Hallel, which is Hebrew for praise, and Lujah is Yah. Praise God, Yahweh. So we should be saying hallelujah everywhere. So, hey, how you doing? Hallelujah, praise God. It's good to meet you. Hallelujah, praise God. Because the Spirit of God is what we are, and our mindset, it should be such that we are constantly thinking of the Spirit of God. We're constantly thinking of the presence of God, and God's presence goes with us. So praise God. Let's stand and praise God. Hallelujah, praise God. In Yeshua's name. In Yeshua's name, I pray that the Spirit of God is upon you. I pray that God's concept, His Spirit, His life, His suffering, His overcoming, His victory is part of your life, and that your mindset changes from money and worries and numbers and noses, that we now have a mindset that says, I am a Hebrew mindset. I have a mindset no longer Roman Greco. That mindset is now the Spirit of His Messiah, and I want to serve you, I want to praise you. I want every one of my thoughts to be taken captive, and I want the presence of God to be in everything. So look at somebody and say, praise God, you're born again. Hallelujah, praise God.